Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We're live right now, so you can join the broadcast and pose your question or seek direction for the real-life issues you face. If there's something you'd like to talk about, that's why we're here live, so you can do just that. 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and it intersects with your life every day. It's Basic Gospel. We want to hear from you. So call now, 1-800-677-9377. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're talking about identity in Christ. Who in the world are you? And the Bible gives a very clear answer. If you have come to Christ by faith, you are a child of God. Now, that's just not, a nice little thing to say. It's a name based on the change and transformation that Jesus has wrought in each and every one of us. We go from death to life. We go from the kingdom of Satan to the kingdom of God. We go from Adam to Christ. We have new hearts. We've been given a new spirit. It's been made alive. The Spirit of God has come to live inside of us. Well, God looked at it and said, I have to have a new name for that. And he called it Child of God. And that's who we are. And we've been talking about that all month. And it's such an important topic because identity is so central to our everyday living. We live out who we believe that we are. If we believe that we're unworthy, unlovable, that's how we're going to live. And we're going to experience depression and anxiety and fear and shame and all of those awful things that we see out there in the world today. If we feel like we're special, we're going to live out the fact that we feel like we're special. And we're going to, you know, look at people and they're going to look at us and say, that guy thinks he's entitled. and you know, if you think you're this or that, you're going to live that out. Or if you buy into what others are saying about you, you're going to live that out. So identity is huge in our everyday living. That's why we need to get this right. That's why we really need to come to this point and say, we are children of God. That's what God says about us. That's what God has made us. We need to live that out. Now, here is a wonderful passage in Galatians chapter 4, starting in verse 4. But when the time had fully come, and he's talking about Jesus here, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law. So at the right time, God sent Jesus. He was born of a woman just like you and I were. He was born under law just like we were. Now, he's not necessarily talking about the Mosaic covenant. He's talking about that universal law of sin and death. We were all born under that. Jesus Christ himself was born under the Mosaic covenant. But he lived and he died to redeem us from under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Now, when he says the full rights of sons, he means that he's given us everything, and that he thinks of us in such a way that we can actually be a part of his business here on earth. So he doesn't just pat us on the head and stick us in a corner and say, you know, you just stand there and everything will be okay. No, he emboldens us and empowers us to be a part of what he's doing in this world. And that is an awesome thing. As children of God, we can be a part of God's family business. That's good news.
Absolutely. Oh, this is Basic Gospel, everybody. If you've got that burning question, you've been holding on to it, you've been hesitating, you've been procrastinating about calling to get an answer for it, well, this is going to be your final chance until Monday, so we want you to take advantage of it right now. 1-800-677-9377. The lines are wide open, and we await your calls at Basic Gospel. 1-800-677-9377. Guys, a question from Cynthia, who writes to us, says her question is about the difference among various churches on when the Holy Spirit actually enters a believer. She says there are churches, Catholic, Lutheran, for instance, that believe and teach that the Holy Spirit enters a baby or a child at its baptism. Then other churches teach that a person receives the Holy Spirit as a second experience sometime after salvation, along with the gift of tongues. Where do these other teachings come from, and how do we share the truth of the gospel with others who have firm beliefs in these other teachings involving the Holy Spirit? That's from Cynthia, who wrote to us from Wisconsin.
Very good question, and I think it just shows the various strains of tradition that are going through history. We have what we call traditions. They are based on interpretations of the Word of God, but they're not necessarily in the Word of God. So there's nowhere in the Word of God that says a baby receives the Spirit of God upon water baptism. A baby has no earthly idea what's happening at that very moment. I was baptized as an infant. I have no recollection of it. The only way I knew about it is that my mom and dad told me. And at that point, the pastor gave my mom and dad a letter that was to be read to me when I was at an age where I could understand things. Mm-hmm. And it was a letter just explaining what that baptism was all about. But I didn't receive the Spirit of God at that point. I received the Spirit of God the day I believed in Jesus. That's when we receive the Spirit of God. We don't receive Him at a point after that salvation. We don't receive Jesus one day, and then a week later, or 2 months later, or 3 years later, receive the Holy Spirit. That's not how it works. When we receive Christ, we receive the Holy Spirit. It's a Trinity thing, isn't it? It's the Godhead. We are made complete in Christ. So if we have Jesus, we have the Spirit, we have the Father. They're all one. So we don't get one and not the other until a later point. So when do we receive the Spirit? We receive the Spirit at the moment of salvation. And Paul addressed this in the book of Romans chapter 8. And this is a verse to note, to actually mark it in your Bible. Verse 9 of chapter 8, "You, however, are controlled not by the flesh, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ." You can't be a Christian without the Spirit of God living in you. That's just not a thing. If you don't have the Spirit of God living in you, you're not saved. So when you're saved, the Spirit of God comes to live inside of you at that very moment, in the twinkling of an eye, so to speak. That's when that happens. So if you've received Jesus Christ, then the Spirit of God has come to live in you. You have been given the gift of God's Spirit.
Now, the vast difference between the questions, some of the issues, and what we've been talking about is what Bob just described is totally by grace through faith. Everything else has at least some aspect of behaviorism. I must do something in order to demonstrate something else or to receive something else. So take the path of grace through faith. It'll make your life much better.
Absolutely. And one of the passages that people point to who believe that you can receive Jesus at one point and then the Spirit at another is in Acts chapter 19. Paul is traveling, and he runs into a group of people, and they're talking about what they've believed. And Paul asks the question, you know, "Do you know anything about the Holy Spirit?" And they basically said, "We didn't even know there was one." Mm-hmm. And Paul said, "Well, what baptism did you receive?" And they said, "The baptism of John the Baptist." That's all they knew.
Yes.
That's all they knew. Well, what was the baptism of John the Baptist? It was a baptism of preparation. It was pointing forward. Messiah is coming. He is going to shed his blood, and he's going to take away sins. And in light of that, prepare your hearts for him. Mm-hmm. That's all they knew. They didn't know anything about the Holy Spirit, and so Paul corrected that. Paul taught them. And they received Jesus for who he was, and at that moment, they received the Spirit.
In fact, their hearts had been prepared so that when they heard the full truth, it was obvious and ready.
Yes, indeed.
Yes, indeed. And Cynthia, good question. And we appreciate hearing from those of you who write email questions to us, because we love to entertain your questions and your particular issues. And you can pose your email question by visiting our website at basicgospel.net. But right now, plenty of open lines, 1-800-677-9377. As I say practically every day, that's why we're live on the air, so you can take part in the program and pose your question live and get your answer immediately. So give us a call, 1-800-677-9377.
Well, let's go to Brooklyn, New York, and talk with John, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, John.
Hello, how are you?
Doing fantastic. Nice to hear from you today.
Yes, you have such a great topic. It's so... you know, so important, because, you know, the church is schizophrenic in so many different ways. We don't know who we are, you know, and, you know, knowing our identity seems to be the key to it all.
Yes.
My question was simply this, that in Ephesians chapter 2, it talks about how Jesus had died actually to create a new identity as a child of God, which was this new humanity, or this one new man. And it's, you know, the question is that since Jesus died to create the child of God as one new man, both Jew and Gentile together as one in this new identity in his body, why doesn't the church teach this as one of the precepts in salvation, you know, such as baptism or such as, you know, the Christian walk? This is something that Paul said Jesus died for, and I just see it as a tremendous lack in the identity of who we are, you know, grafted in as Gentiles to the olive tree of Israel and the Jewish people walking with us in salvation. And could you explain why the church has not focused on this as our identity?
Well, John, I'm not sure. I think the idea of church is a mystery. It certainly was a mystery to the Jewish people. That's why Paul had to explain it. They never dreamed in a million years that Gentiles would be on an equal playing field with them, that they would receive the same gift of the Spirit that the Jews did. So that was something foreign to the Jewish people. And so Paul explained the mystery. We talk about the body of Christ. I think people, when they do the Lord's Supper, might mention that. But I agree with you, John. It's not at the forefront of most teaching. I think that's why we are so confused as to the church, the very nature of the church. The church is all of God's called out people in the world today and throughout history. That's the church of Jesus Christ. It is made up of both Jew and Gentile, and those together have become one new man. And each individual person is placed into that body the moment that they're saved, and they become members of the church, a part of God's called out people. And God's Spirit gifts each and every one of us for certain functions within the body to help build up the body so that the body can carry out its work in the world at large. So it's an important truth. It's an important teaching. And it really, I think, answers that question of purpose for us. When we know we have an identity, when we understand who we are, then the next natural question to ask is, well, as a child of God, what is my purpose? And the church answers that purpose for us.
Absolutely, yes. Yes, that's so true, yes. Well, wonderful. I'm so glad you're bringing all this up and trying to get us on our right track of identity as to who we are. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, John, and thanks for your call today. Let me put you on hold, and we'll give you some more information about the ministry, and we have some wonderful resources we can put in your hands as well, okay?
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Hey, thank you, John. God bless, my friend.
There are, in fact, many valuable resources available to you in our online store, and you'll find the opportunity to poke around and see what's there when you go to store.basicgospel.net. Again, that's store.basicgospel.net. In fact, a brand new and exciting product called Stand, Finding Solid Footing in a Broken World. You'll find it there as well. It addresses the need of every Christian. Every Christian faces at one time or another, and that is how to walk by faith and apply that faith to everyday life. It's comprised of six sessions. A bonus roundtable, of course, discussion is included, and the Q&A session. Messages by Bob Christopher, by Andrew Farley, and John Lynch. They'll anchor you to the life of the and love of the Lord Jesus Christ and enable you to stand firm in the, through the trials of life. And you can order yours today by calling 1-800-727-2828. That's our order line available right now, 800-727-2828, or go online to stand2014.com. Again, stand2014.com. Either way, a great way to order this fine series, and we hope you'll take advantage of that. Well, again, open lines, 1-800-677-9377. Guys, a question from Joanne, who writes to us from Utica, New York. Joanne says, my question is regarding the resurrection of the body. I have prayed the Apostles' Creed ever since I can remember. I believe in this, but I'm a little confused, she says. I know that after death, our spirit or soul lives if we believe in Christ as our Savior when we were in the flesh. However, at what point does our spirit go to be with Christ? Do we lie in a state of oblivion for a while? Or at the point of death are we to be with God? Because also in this prayer is the statement of belief that Jesus will come to judge the living and the dead. So we lie in wait until the Lord comes to judge the world at the end? Or does that just mean that mean the spiritually dead to Christ? Are we literally risen with new bodies as Jesus was? As a Catholic, she says, I was taught that purgatory is the place you go after death to have your sins cleansed before you meet God. But this does not make sense to me, that our sins, because our sins have already been forgiven. Any clarity on this dilemma, she says, dilemma of mine, will be greatly helpful.
Well, that's an interesting question. There's no such thing as soul sleep.
No.
When we die, we're absent from the body and present with the Lord. And that's as much detail as the Word of God gives us. So the good news is that we are present with the Lord. It talks about the resurrection of the body. The question is, when does the resurrection of the body happen? Now, as far as God is concerned, there's no time with Him. We're the ones that are bound by time. So that there's a point in time in human history when the resurrection of the bodies is going to occur. As far as God is concerned, it's already occurred.
Yeah, it's already happened.
Yeah, so that's hard for us to grasp. It's hard to explain. But it's true. So there's different realms. One where God is, that's not bound by time. He is always present. That's why His name is the Great I Am. For us, we look in the past, we have our present, we look into the future, and we have a hard time staying in the present.
Yes.
Our minds wander back to the past. They wander up toward the future. And both of those mess up what's happening here and now mentally. So we've got to figure that out. But as far as when the resurrection occurs, as the Bible puts it, it's a point in time. There's going to be the resurrection of the body.
Yeah, one of the things that really helped me with this, because I came out of a tradition that believed in soul sleep, and yet I didn't want to believe that, you know, my grandmother was somehow wandering around heaven distraught at what I was doing. Well, both of those aspects are wrong. But one of the things that helped me get past that was the realization, as Paul describes it in 1 Corinthians 15, that not one of us is going to heaven, whatever heaven is, right? When Jesus comes back to collect us, not one of us is going as we are. Every one of us is going to shed this physical body, whether we've died first before He comes, or the moment He comes and we shed this body and everybody gets the new spiritual body. And when I begin to think of it in those terms, and then you realize that because of this identity where we have the indwelling Holy Spirit, God has already restored us to Himself in a partial way that Adam and Eve were created, in constant communication with Him, and eventually He's going to fix the physical bodily part of this and restore everything. I can't wait, but in the meantime, I can live today in the full knowledge that I'm safe with Him, and I can live every day, moment by moment, by faith because of Him.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, we appreciate that. Well, let's go to Gaithersburg, Maryland, and talk with Chris, listening to us on WAVA. Hi, Chris.
Hey, gentlemen. Thanks every day for for your wonderful broadcast. I listen every single day in the car while I'm working.
Well, that's awesome. Thanks for letting us be a part of your life. We sure appreciate that, Chris, and we're glad you're a part of ours.
Amen. Thank you. My problem is I've lost the joy of my salvation, and I can literally see that God gave me some instructions several years ago, and I did not obey what was instructed to me, and now this is about 6 years later, I find myself more or less in the same spot. I feel like I've lost 6 years of my life because I'm more or less starting all over again, going around that mountain yet again, and I'm finding a lot of the tendencies and personality traits that I had before I was saved are rearing their ugly head because I'm upset with myself, I'm upset with God, I'm regretful, and it basically came down to a matter of being obedient to what he told me to do, and I can look back and see it clear as day that I was disobedient, and of course that explains entirely why I'm right back where I was instead of being much further ahead. But it's just hard to stomach, it's hard to live with.
Well, Chris, you know, I think we all can look back into our past and we can pinpoint a decision we made or a sin that we committed, and we can go right there, and then we can take that forward to where we are now, and we can say, yeah, that's why I'm so messed up. And if I had just not done that, or if I'd have made a different decision, well, and that's where we have to come to the point and realize, well, I didn't make the decision I should have made. I made another decision. I messed up. Well, is that okay as far as God is concerned? Well, absolutely. He knows we're going to mess up. He knows we're going to make bad decisions. He knows we're going to be disobedient at times in our lives. But that doesn't change anything as far as God's opinion of you. He loves you. He's declared you to be righteous, Chris. He's given you a new identity. He's taken away all of your sins. He's forgiven them, and he chooses to remember them no more. That's incredible news. So we have to come to the point where we, as Paul did, to forget about the past, to leave the past behind, and to press on to what God has for us right now. Maybe we missed something 5 or 6 years ago, but that doesn't mean we're going to miss it today.
Not at all.
Yeah, that doesn't set the course of our life. God does, and this walk with him, that sets the course of our lives. And that's where you need to focus, Chris. You need to realize that God has promised you that he's going to work that together for good. That's his promise. And so if you messed up, if you believe you made the wrong decision, that you were disobedient, that doesn't throw God off of his course with you. He's just going to work it together for good. That's his promise. And when you learn to embrace that promise and to step into that promise and to thank the Lord for that promise, that's when hope can be reinserted into your situation, and you could look at both today and tomorrow with bright eyes, knowing that God is going to do some special things in and through you. Chris, we're about out of time. Let me put you on hold. We'll pick up with you right after the broadcast, and we'll get some information into your hands, okay?
Yes, indeed.
You hang on.
Well, friends, if you like what you hear each day on Basic Gospel, please like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Basic Gospel RDO. And we also invite you to go online to basicgospel.net and click subscribe to join our email list. Sign up today to receive the links to the daily radio broadcast, Bob Christopher's blog posts, and other ministry updates as well. That's subscribe at basicgospel.net. We also want to continue to point you to Bob's excellent series called When God Is For You. It's available when you go to our store at basicgospel.net or by calling 1-800-727-2828. That's available during Central Time office hours. Our operator is standing by, 1-800-727-2828. Learn to live in the confidence that God is for you. When God is for you, well, who can be against you? an excellent series by Bob Christopher. Well, again, thanks for joining us, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again Monday after a wonderful weekend in the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.